Welcome to episode 194 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help you push outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, by all means, let us know. My name is Laura, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay, Donna, Sandy, and Elizabeth. It's time to pull the tarp off the old DeLorean and fire up the flux capacitor, because this week we're going to delve into the mysteries of time travel. Well, okay, maybe not that type of time travel, but we're going to discuss a few of the biggest mysteries and misconceptions surrounding perfectly timed travel. So let's get started. So the first thing we're talking to talk about is, when is the best time for you to travel?
This is a big one for me because I think many, many people think that they're doing us a favor by calling us and saying, well, I can really go anytime between June and August. And there's a couple things that's wrong with that. First of all, we don't have a magic button that lets us, you know, search across lots of different times like that. It's very time consuming to search lots of different dates. So in general, we're not going to do it. We're going to pick dates that we think will probably be cheaper based on what we know. The second thing that I find is you may think you have the whole summer free when you say that to me, but because you haven't looked at your calendar, but I will pick the weekend of your sister's wedding. And then you'll come back and say, I can't travel that weekend because my sister's getting married.
Soccer tryouts.
Yeah, and it's like, but you told me you could go anytime. So it really is super helpful to narrow it down a lot for us because it saves you time and it saves us time as well.
Yeah, and it also helps you narrow down your destination choice too, because if the vacation that you're looking at taking doesn't line up with your available time to travel, it can save you a lot of upcoming heartbreak in the future when things don't go according to plan.
Yeah.
I think our year-round calendar is what trained me to focus in on dates so well because we only had 3-week breaks, you know? So we knew it had to be something of that. Because I was going to say, I don't know, how do people have such a broad idea? But I think it's from years of having that school schedule with my kids and having to work it into like such a small time.
Well, I think too that there's a little piece of you that thinks, well, if it's much cheaper on a particular weekend, then I'll just move my other plans. And like your sister's wedding, you can't move, but you don't expect that out of all the weekends in the summer, I'm going to pick that weekend. Mm-hmm. But I assure you I will because it's happened many, many, many times. But also, you really can't. And I strongly encourage you before you really say I can travel anytime, really look at your summer, look at when your kids are going to summer camp. I mean, summer is the biggest time that this happens. It happens all the time. There's some people, if you have preschool kids where you really don't care, that look at your calendar and say, what really is the best week or weekend, depending on how long you expect your trip to be, for me to travel based on all the other things I have going on around it. Because I've also had people tell me, well, I can go anytime between, you know, the 23rd and then the 15th of the next month. So I just start with the 23rd and they're like, well, I actually have a dentist appointment on the 23rd, so I can only travel in the afternoon. It's like, don't do that. Go ahead and just look at your calendar and say, okay, realistically, these are the dates that we can go. And I just booked some clients on a trip who said, basically, we're off from December 28th until February 1st because they're college professors and the way that, and in that case, okay. And then, but they wanted an escorted tour. So then it's easy for me to pick dates because those escorted tours only run certain times. So in that case, a month is good. But if you truly have that to travel.
And it helps to kind of focus our value as a resource tool for you too, because you don't want us spending all of our time on your vacation searching every single date in the calendar. You want us honing in on the things that are the most special to you and really diving down deep into those resort choices and those tour choices for you. And it's just so much easier to do that if we have some more concrete evidence of when you can actually travel.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Well, another piece that might go with that is when people will call us and say, we'd like to go someplace during my kid's spring break.
Yeah.
Just sometimes spring break will be good. And, you know, I live in Pennsylvania, but you may live in Seattle, and you may live in Kansas. And so, you know, please remember that, you know, it's like, we really want to go, but maybe spring break or summer vacation, you know, helping us to know what time.
Yeah,
those dates are about.
Yeah, and that actually, that rings true. I actually live in the same house with myself. I have two children, and they both have different spring break calendars because one is at a charter school and one is a public school. So you can't make any assumption about when spring break is. Spring break nationwide falls somewhere between the beginning of March, maybe the end of February for Mardi Gras, depending on when Easter is, to like mid-April. It could be anywhere in there.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't know that, so this is a really valuable tip for people when you're looking at spring break. It's not going to be the same week for everybody.
Yeah, and I want to travel over Christmas. Well, do you mean you want to travel over Christmas, or do you want to travel around Christmas? Because I've also had people tell me they want to travel over Christmas, and then I give them dates, and they're like, "Well, we don't want to be gone for Christmas." You know, it's like, "Oh, well." When you said over Christmas, I thought you meant over Christmas. So, you know, be specific with those dates. Because, there's only about a two-week window, and we all sort of know when that window is. But if you say over Christmas, I'm going to assume you want to be gone over Christmas.
Because some crazy people do that.
Lots of crazy people do that. And I know that to some people that seems like the weirdest thing ever. But lots of people do that.
We're talking much higher airline flights. Cost. I mean, if you can push it back to, say, around the 15th, it's going to be a lot less cost than it is, you know, the week of Christmas and New Year's.
Mm-hmm. Plus, that also affects when you need to start planning your vacation.
Yeah, start now for Christmas.
Start now for Christmas of 2019.
No, that brings up a good point, is how far in advance should you start planning?
Yep. So this is, again, one of those things. I understand that people want to save up for a long time. You can start saving for your vacation years in advance, even if you haven't booked it. You can do it. You can. Mm-hmm. And I highly recommend you do something. Whatever you have to do to trick yourself to not spend that money, go ahead and start saving. But we really can't book the best trip for you, depending on the kind of trip, until about a year in advance, maybe a little bit less. Air doesn't come out until 11 months in advance. So if you want air in your package, and for some airlines, even closer in, Southwest is a good example where we have to wait. So we might be able at 12 or 13 months to book your hotel or your cruise. Your cruise, sometimes we can book 2 years in advance, but we can't book your air until 11 months. There's nothing we can do about it. I can give you a quote until the day is long. It's irrelevant because air could go up or down. So it would be a ballpark, but I can give you a ballpark just off the top of my head based on knowing what airfare costs in general. It's not going to be accurate in any way, shape, or form. Yeah. It's just,
and we really don't like to do that because we don't want you to come back 2 years from now and go, "Well, you said 2030. You said in 2018 that in 2030 it was going to be."
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? We may be flying in little individual shuttle pods created by SpaceX, and so we have no idea.
I was thinking jetpacks. I was thinking we're all going to have jetpacks. Or maybe we will really be time traveling.
Maybe.
And your destination choice will be extremely different than what it is right now.
Well, you know, some people kind of need like concrete things.
Yeah.
So if people are planning to travel Christmas and New Year's, when should they call?
So most people
want to get that call a year in advance, at least.
And in general, most people book that most people start booking Christmas in June.
Yeah.
So you could be ahead of the curve and call a little bit before June, but I would say definitely by June or July. At July at the very latest, you should be talking to us about Christmas.
And that truly does depend on where your destination is too. Like Hawaii, Christmas time, you're going to want to get ahead of the curve a little bit because it's going to book up quickly and the prices are going to go up.
Okay, so you just said there can be a wide span on spring break. When should they start thinking about spring break?
Fall break.
In the fall when they go back to school?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard one for people. We get it. You're in the middle of, you know, going back to school and the school year's just started and spring break is forever away. It's not.
Yeah, really don't do what I did. Go somewhere cold where it's going to snow when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah, don't do that.
You want to be somewhere warm on spring break.
But, you know, we just talked about how spring break has about a six-week window, but that's still a whole lot of people in this country who are taking spring break within that six-week window. So just like summer is busy, which is a whole three-month window, that six-week window, it's going to feel like everyone's taking spring break the same week you are. So, if you, you know, things like cruises and hotels, if you want a very, like, if you really want an all-inclusive resort with a swim-out room, book that early because you may not be able to get that room that you want. Or if you want a cruise and you want adjoining cabins because you have a family of five or six or four and you just want more space, if you want connecting cabins, I should say, do that early because those book up. And some cruise lines have more connecting cabins and some cruise ships have more than others. So you are really better off booking that a little bit early.
And the same thing goes for ski vacations. If you want to go skiing where it's cold, not warm, same thing. I mean, some of those room categories are sold out. The ski in, ski out are gone, and you have to be further away from the mountain.
And skiing at Christmas is going to be cold. I mean, it's going to be expensive. It's going to be cold too. It's going to be expensive. So don't fret too much over price. The chances of, you know, if you're trying to go skiing in Colorado at Christmas time, it's not going to go on sale. If it does, you probably don't want to stay there. So,
and if you're looking at some of those, you know, some of those trips that we classify as more once in a lifetime, kind of maybe even bucket list trips, your river cruises, your safaris and things like that, you really want to do those well enough in advance. I can't even tell you, I've had dozens of people this year alone contact me for things I can't get them into because there's a waiting list a mile long.
Yep.
Because there's just not enough time. You do not have as much time as you think you do for some of those specialty tours and specialty cruises, specialty sailings and trips like that. You really do need to get on the ball. And even if you're not ready to put money down, you know, 2 years in advance or whatever, if you're kind of haven't an idea to narrow down what you are looking to do specifically, that just gives you that much more time to, it gives us that much more time to help you too, to make sure that you're looking at the right choice for you.
Yep. And just understand that your air is going to come later. Like you're going to have to understand that you have not got your final price for your trip. And so you're going to have to leave some room in your budget knowing that the air is, who knows? And you know, you can look at current figures to see what it might be for next year, but keep in mind it could be higher than that. So be ready to take that into account. Some people will wait until air comes out to book their trip. And sometimes that's not a good thing to do. I mean, if you're looking at a small group tour, it could be full by the time air comes out because, you know, a whole extended family decided to book that week and take up all the spots. So if you really have a fixed time to go, it's probably better to go ahead and book it. Unless you're not sure you can go, if it's a non-refundable deposit or whatever, then maybe it's worth waiting and risking, but just understand that risk.
And if you're looking on Facebook around February and March and April and it's cold where you are and you're seeing all your friends at an all-inclusive or someplace warm or on a cruise and you're wishing they were, that's the right time for you to call.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those folks, when they get back from that trip, it's something they do every year, they're going to go right ahead and book again. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're encouraging them to do that so that they're ahead of the ball in, you know, getting those room categories and they're not waiting until July. So ask right then, you know, ask in March or April, you know, to begin planning your spring break trips.
Yep. And then things that have a very short season, like Alaska, you know, you can go to Alaska anytime, but if you want to do an Inside Passage cruise, your window is pretty much mid to late May to early September. Those are the only times to go. So don't wait until the beginning of May to book your cruise this summer to Alaska. You might be okay, especially if it's only two of you. But if you have a family of four and you need to put four people into one cabin, or, you know, a larger family than that, or if you want to take grandma and grandpa and aunt and uncle and an extended family and all be close together, that's not going to happen. I mean, it's really not very likely to happen unless you're super flexible on your dates. And even then, maybe not.
And the best prices for those were last year.
Yeah.
I mean, so not like you should have cruised last year, but I mean, like you should have booked it last year to get the best price because you might see, you know, a promo that you think looks good, but if you compare it to what people deposited a year before, then you're better off putting that deposit down.
Yeah. So this podcast is going up at the end of toward the end of the summer. And by then that's probably about, you know, if you hear this and you're like, oh yeah, I wanted to go to Alaska, call us. Yeah. Because if you want to go next year, now is the time, mm-hmm. you know, for sure. So same thing, you know, the way we were talking about the ski vacations over Christmas, that's a high demand, thing. And if you really want to go at Christmas or over President's Day or over Martin Luther King Day, when you have a long weekend, you book that as close to a year in advance as you can, you know, 11 months. Segues well into, how much time do you need? How much time can you travel? That's a big one. You know, we live in America and we have, very limited vacation time. So go ahead and really think about how much time you really can take. And I can tell you, and somebody on this podcast can disagree with me, but if you tell me you'd like to go for 5 to 7 days, I'm going to start at 7. Because everybody wants to take as long a vacation as they can. So I'll start at 7. And if you tell me, oh, that's too expensive or, you know, whatever, then we'll start shaving days off. But we try to start with the ideal trip. So, and when you're going to someplace like Europe and you want to see 3 cities, you know, if you tell me 7 to 10 days, I'm going to go with 10 because it's easier to see 3 cities in 10 than it is in 7 every time. Doesn't matter how you stretch.
You're going to be running ragging if you're doing 7.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's an important thing too, because people don't, I mean, when you look at the map and you look, and we know we've touched on this multiple times, but I think it needs to be said again, that you look at the map of the world and you look and you go, well, it looks like it's just so close. And in general, things in Europe are close, but they still take time.
Yep.
They still take time. And then how much is your time worth? Because you don't, like Donna said, you don't want to run yourself ragged. You don't want to be, I mean, unless you want to travel like I do, but...
Well, even then, some things are just impossible. Yeah, some things are just impossible.
You might not want to go.
Yep. Yeah, my favorite is the Paris Rome. We want to do Paris and Rome. And then there's some misconception that the train ride between Paris and Rome is 4 hours. I mean, yes, you can do Paris and Rome on one vacation, but you're either going to be on a train for a really long time to get there or you're going to fly. Mm-hmm. It's not a little quick train jaunt to Rome. And I totally understand when you don't know that when you call me, but, you know, it does help if you just throw a few searches into Google Maps and sort of think about what you really can do. Or if you really don't know, call us with some ideas of what you want to do, but let us narrow it down for you. You know, if you tell me that you want to go to Toronto, Quebec, and Prince Edward Island, I'm going to say, hey, now. You know, Canada's really big. It's really big. And so if you only have 7 days to do that, it's probably not going to happen. So we need to start talking about what your priorities are. And maybe it's Prince Edward Island, and so we focus on the Maritimes, but, or maybe it's Toronto. And so that's, you know, you could do Toronto and Quebec. You could do that.
Well, along with that, it's like where you want to go at the time you want to go. Maybe, I ran into this summer where people called me about 8 or 10 weeks ahead of time. They want to take the Rocky Mountaineer across from Vancouver to Banff in Alberta. Well, guess where everyone in Canada goes to vacation in the summer?
Mm-hmm.
Banff in Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's kind of like saying, you know, that someone from Europe would want to come over here in July and get a place at Myrtle Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Beachfront for the best price.
No, the Canadians go to Myrtle Beach in January and swim in the ocean.
Well, it's kind of knowing, you know, mm-hmm. if you're going to, you know, for our folks who are traveling internationally, kind of what's the schedule of that country, and mm-hmm. is the place you're wanting to go the place that, you know, everybody's wanting to go in that country.
It usually is.
At that time. So there's some thoughts around that for time also.
Yeah.
And if you're traveling to Europe, let's just use Europe because that kind of has the least of it, but you fly over there and you're already on a different time schedule.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that we can't find some of these destinations in a very short time frame. I mean, I've had several calls just this week that want to get away this weekend. We can sometimes do those things. It's just a matter of, but you have to expect that the property that you want may not be available. We may have to put you somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
We may have to adjust your destination slightly. So there are those things to think about when you're thinking about a quick getaway.
Yes, very true. Very true. So, and I mean, I've booked somebody to Australia within 2 weeks of their travel date. I mean, from Atlanta, it can be done. It just, you may have to compromise, or you may have to be ready to open up that wallet a little bit bigger, yeah. You know? And in their case, they were saving so much on airfare. They found an airfare sale, that was fantastic. And so they were like, it's so cheap that it's worth it for us. You know, the budget we would have had to go, on a summer vacation that would have been different, we're going to spend on Australia. So,
so for someone who's using a travel agent for the first time, when is the best time, or maybe that's already used one once and is looking to use one again, when's the best time to contact your travel professional in the planning process?
Before you book it.
Money down.
Yeah. Before you put the money down, before you book, because we can help you avoid a lot of those misconceptions on, I just had this happen. Someone wanted to do something and they had it all planned out in their head when they were going to do it, bought their air, but what they wanted to do wasn't available during their
air time. Yeah.
There. So
yeah,
it's, we can really kind of help guide you along the way. The sooner you get us involved, the better. Now, that's not to say that, you know, like we talked about before, we're not going to have pricing ready for you for, you know, 5 years in advance. a lot of things, but,
right.
But we can definitely help you get it focused in and narrowed down on what exactly it is you want out of your vacation and, when the best time to book that particular thing is.
Yep. And we can even advise on timing. I mean, something that just comes to mind right now, the World Cup is going on when we're recording this. If you were planning on going anywhere that was new, and this year it's not such a travel destination, but that can affect your travel. Wimbledon is starting. It's actually starting kind of late this year for what it usually is. So we'll know why prices in London are suddenly really high for that particular
week.
Tour
de France. I have someone yes, going
the
to
Tour
Paris.
De France. Yes. And now if you're, going,
for
yeah,
that, though,
and if you're
yeah.
going to see it, then that makes sense. That you go then, but a lot of times people sort of do it accidentally. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of people this year, several really, contact me to go to London in the middle of May. And I had to remind them, well, there is this wedding going on. And it wasn't such a draw, but it was happening. You know, it's like that's something that's going on that the whole country's going to have their eye on. So you just want to be aware of that when you're making your plans. Mm-hmm. Same thing as traveling over Easter. Some countries, you know, being someplace at Easter means there's nothing for you to do. You know, and if you're okay with that, then that's good. But you need to be expecting that so you don't mm-hmm. hit the ground running going, oh, huh. Everything's closed. Yeah.
Everything's
so,
closed.
Yeah.
Or I'm here on Sunday. Why are all the shops closed?
Yep.
Been there, done that.
Yep.
More than once.
And we've covered like the tattoo in Edinburgh and the Fringe Festival. You know, August seems like a great time to go to Scotland, and it is, but you just need to be aware that that's going on. That may be a great draw for you, but if it's not, it may be a huge inconvenience for you. You know, what do you mean there's a parade going down the middle of Main Street? You know, well, it's important and you're not really going to get around it. There's nothing.
There's this guy breathing fire.
Yeah.
Like, what? Going on.
So yeah, the sooner you contact your travel agent in the planning process, and it doesn't mean that we'll necessarily start working on it. We might be able to provide some guidance. If you're the sort who wants to research a few things and then get back to us, I do that all the time where we'll start the planning and then you do a little research and then you come back to me with more, you know, I may point you and, you know, look at this, this, and this, and then we decide what to do. It just depends on you and your travel style.
Okay. So here's a fun question for you, going back to our introduction. If you could travel to any time or place, what would it be?
Who wants to start?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I'll start.
Okay.
I'll fall on the sword. Okay. So I was thinking about this when I was writing the show notes. I don't want to go back to the past because travel was so inconvenient. I mean, I get impatient with a short plane ride. I can't imagine what a wagon ride would do to me. Or like having to travel by horseback across the countryside somewhere. So I'd want to go to the future, at least to where we could travel even faster. Maybe to teleportation, something like that.
Just
go back to when the Concorde was flying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we'd have to say what time would we want to go to and how much money would we like to have once we got there, because that would be key.
Yeah, I was. That's the thing about going in the past. I like camping, but I know you guys who are all like, oh, it has to be glamping. I can't imagine you wanting to do, like, the horse-drawn carriage kind of thing where you get to stop at these inns.
I don't want to go back to latrines or... or in times weren't that great for women way back when.
So it needs to be the 1950s or later, maybe, or...
See, I have two different times I'd like to go back.
Okay.
I would have loved to grown up. I would have loved to, during Little House on the Prairie times, just let me go milk the cows and make the bread and rock the babies and sit on the front porch and be happy.
Aww.
And I would have been just as content as a bug in a rug there. On the other side of that, I would have loved to be alive when the Beatles the Beatles were touring and seen them in concert. So those are my two.
That's a good one.
I think for me, travel-wise, I mean, especially since I couldn't, like, I wouldn't mind living as a royal or something like that. That would be cool. But that's not really a travel as much as a changing who I am kind of thing. But I would love to go back to, say, Paris while the Eiffel Tower was being built, or London when Big Ben was being built, or the, you know, see what the pyramids were like. Again, not someplace I'd necessarily want to be, hang out for a long time, but just see it before, you know, see, maybe see the Colossus of Rhodes, see some of those things that we either can't see or we see in a different state now, in a different condition. I mean, I would be very interested to do something like that.
Slaves being forced upon.
Right, exactly. It's like, it's not a great, yeah. That one's probably not tough.
He's bringing all your realities crashing
but,
down.
Yeah, we get super political here. But yeah, I would love to go back to some place where I could see it again in a different way. You know, see it as it used to be. Something that I've seen before and see it as it used to be.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my third thing, is to see the World's Fair when it came to New York City.
Yeah.
You know, and to see New York back then,
yeah,
as opposed to it is now, and even New York as it was when I was a child, I'd love to see it through my adult eyes, because my grandparents lived in Flushing, and that is largely Pan-Asian now, mm-hmm. and back then it was like Italian and Jewish, and I'd love to go, you know, smell those smells and see those places with an adult's view.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Sandy?
So the only thing I can really come up with is something iconic opening like Disneyland, you know, when Walt Disney was still alive and it was, you know, had kind of his touch on it.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if I'd be disappointed though.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on how, probably not in Disneyland because you're such a fan.
Yeah.
There would be things. I mean, maybe Kenny would. It might not be as cool.
Oh my gosh, she brought up Kenny Wood. Would have been really cool back then. I mean, they still have some rides that are from the 20s, mm-hmm. 1920s, you know. So we're talking pushing 100 years old, some of those rides. So it's pretty cool.
Well, this is our show for the week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com. Then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Fly Away, and please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Sandy, Donna, Lindsay, Elizabeth, and myself, Laura, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.